This is the Gonzo Chronicles. This should be your new favorite show, your favorite podcast. If it's not, you're on the wrong side of history, and I should probably hate you. But I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that to you. Hey, this is Cyrus Alderwood. Welcome back to another episode. We're going to talk about urban legends. What's your favorite urban legend? My favorite urban legend is that your mom is so fat that when they took a high school photograph for her senior year, it had to be done with a helicopter. I'm feeling like an asshole today. Hey, another news, if you're following along on Twitter, anybody on Twitter for that matter, looks like there's been somebody's thrown down. They've invited Joe Biden and Donald Trump onto the Joe Rogan podcast. 4 hours, no interruptions, no audience, Joe Rogan moderating, just a debate on ideas. Can't believe it. Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe anything Trump would do. But he jumped in and he said, I'm all in. So what will Joe Biden do? I'm sure there won't be a debate, but I don't think there's going to be any debates at all this year, to be honest with you. The hell is there to talk about anymore? Anytime anybody talks to each other, they beat the shit out of each other in the streets for disagreeing. But I digress. In other news, everybody hates the Houston Astros for being a bunch of cheaters. I was really hoping for a full baseball season just to see how many people got hit at the plate. I'm sorely disappointed. Now I'm more mad at COVID than anything. Yeah. Almost anything. Alright, let's turn this down a little bit. I do love the blues, and thanks to those guys again in Blueshammer for letting me use their tunes as bumper music here on the Gonzo Chronicles. Can never go wrong with the blues. But you know what else you can never go wrong with if you want to talk about weird stuff? Urban legends. It's true. I've heard so many podcasts over the past couple of years that just cover urban legends. There's one of my favorite podcasts called Weird Darkness. And I listen to that. Man, they record, God, almost every day. Who the hell has the time? I hope they're making a bunch of money off of that. I hope they're doing that for a career because, yeah, if they're not, they're missing an opportunity. And they're way busier than they should be. But I want to talk a little bit about urban legends. Actually, I want to do a series on urban legends. And we'll just consider this a bit of an intro because I'm going to have some guests on talk about different urban legends. But you know, it's funny how urban legends get started because there always seem to be like some based in some sort of truth, but they're really not. So anyway, I'm tracking down on the YouTube, watching different videos to kind of prep for this show to see what kind of urban legends are out there. And of course, there's all the greats, you know, Bloody Mary. They actually made a movie called Candyman back in the 80s or 90s. I can't remember which. I think Tony Todd was in it and Virginia Madsen. And anyway, great movie. But it was based off the old urban legend of Bloody Mary. You know, these, if you look in the mirror and say Bloody Mary three times, then the ghost of the old witch will show up and kill you, I think. Anyway, Candyman certainly came back and killed some people in those movies. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. There's also another movie out there from the 90s called Urban Legend. And actually, that's really cool. I see that quite often on TV. We're coming up close to Halloween, so I would bet a vital organ that you'll find it on AMC or Sci-Fi or one of these channels. I'm sure it'll be on a dozen times. But really great movie. And they really cover all the main, you know, the some of the greats of all the urban legends over time. But there are several, like, urban legends. Urban legends don't necessarily have to be scary. And they change from culture to culture and from country to country, I've noticed, because they're everywhere. And, for example, have you heard of all, like, what they call Coke lore? No, I'm not talking about cocaine. I'm talking about Coca-Cola. For example, if you lose a tooth or something, to show you how bad Coke is for you and your digestive system and your teeth, if you pour some Coke in a glass or in a cup and you leave a tooth in there overnight, it will dissolve. Man, that's creepy, because I drink about two or three of those damn things a day, which is very unhealthy anyway. But, yeah, complete urban legend. I guess it's been tried, debunked. Here's another cool urban legend that goes way back. Walt Disney is cryogenically frozen because he was hoping that once technology caught up, they could unfreeze him and bring him back to life. So that's an urban legend that, you know, Walt Disney is still cryogenically frozen somewhere. Only problem with that urban legend was he's actually cremated in 1966. So, again, not true. And we've all heard the urban legend of the vanishing hitchhiker. You know, you see this lady, young lady, hitchhiking along the road. You stop to pick her up because you feel bad for her. And she tells you she doesn't live far. You drive her to her house. She tells you where she lives. You drive her up to her house. And when you turn to look and talk to her, say goodnight or whatever, she's gone. She's vanished, disappeared. And you think, what the hell? You get out. You go knock on the door. And you find out that she used to live there because that's her parents. And her parents still live there. She died many years ago along the same stretch of road where you picked her up and brought her home. Classic. I love that one. How many times have we seen that in horror movies over the years? God knows I've seen it a lot because I've seen a lot of horror movies, unfortunately. Or fortunately. I watch a lot of those things. As a matter of fact, I'm really in the mood for some good horror the closer we get to Halloween. Here's another really interesting urban legend. We all grew up on Mr. Rogers. Well, maybe not all of us, but grew up on Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers, here's an urban legend about him. That Mr. Rogers was a Navy SEAL sniper and had killed a lot of people in Vietnam. And he wears a sweater to cover up all of his tattoos. That he was actually a war hero and had a lot of kills under his belt as a sniper. Well, actually, that wasn't true. Turns out that's an urban legend. He was actually never in the military. He has no tattoos. Actually, a pretty docile, nice man. Captain Kangaroo. Here's something I've always wanted to see, one of these celebrity death matches. Remember that show that MTV used to have after they killed rock and roll and went to like reality-based BS? Had the show called Celebrity Deathmatch, and it was like these claymation characters. They would get in an octagon, like in UFC, and they would fight it out to the death. Man, how cool would it be to see Mr. Rogers versus Captain Kangaroo? That's up there on my list of like things I always wanted to see, never got to see. Too bad those guys aren't alive so they can duke it out in the cage. But I'd pay good money for that. I'd pay pay-per-view costs for that. Only problem is Captain Kangaroo would obviously kick his ass because he actually was in the military. He did learn how to fight. He never was in combat in war because he joined a little too late. But there it is. Captain Kangaroo versus Mr. Rogers. No contest. But there's an interesting urban legend that... actually, before I get into this, there's an interesting urban legend about a school bus, and that was supposedly happened near San Antonio, Texas. And then I found other instances on the web where this incident with the school bus happened in other places. But before we get there, let's see how an urban legend gets started. You know, somebody in my hometown here in Richlands decided to record a video some years ago. This is probably, it looks like it's from 2007. And somebody tried to start an urban legend about this little town. Now, there's only two comments on this because no one's heard of it. I've asked people about this for years if they've heard of it. It's called The Lady in White. And I'm just going to hit play on the YouTube video. It's about 3 minutes long. So listen through to the end and keep in mind that none of this is actually true. But yet, if you watch this online and you get a couple of people to say they saw it, then that's really all you need to start to get an urban legend. So, hey, this is fodder for you. You think about what kind of urban legend you want to start for your town. Or maybe there's some already out there. If there are, let me know.
Nestled in the Appalachian Mountains lies the small town of Richlands, Virginia. Life is simple here. Little shops lie in the uncrowded streets. People can enjoy a good book, a cup of coffee, or a visit to a local historic spot. But beneath this quiet exterior lies a mystery of the haunting kind. Cornelia Grace Clemens was born to a hard-working family in the early 1900s.
In the early 1900s, a person knew what to expect. Rich married rich, poor married poor. That's just the way it was. Until one day when Cornelia Grace met Edmund Wright.
Edmund Wright was the son of a prominent businessman in the community. No one knows exactly how he and Cornelia met, but the spark of love grew into an overwhelming passion. It is said that love notes passed between them by way of an old tree. From these notes, we know that they planned to meet and start a new life together. They were to meet late one evening in the early spring. What took place that night, no one knows. Did Edmund's father prevent him from coming? Did Edmund come and confess to Cornelia that he couldn't leave his life here, breaking her heart in the process? The only thing we know for sure is the body of Cornelia, Grace Clemens, was found floating face down along the muddy banks of the Hollow Creek. Locals here call her the Lady in White. They say you can see her walking through the woods to the graveyard where Edmund lies. She's also been spotted in the waters of the Hollow Creek.
I remember seeing her, I really do, but my parents thought I was making it up because I was a little girl. When I was about 7 years old, I used to go out and play in the woods. And honey, one day I was standing there and I looked around the corner and there she was. She was looking at me and she did have a white dress on and it really scared me because I thought maybe it was an angel or something at first, but I know it wasn't because the way she was looking at me. And I got really scared, but then I took off a running and stuff and I turned around and looked back. And she was just gone, and I didn't know what to do. And I said, well, maybe I just thought I saw her, but I know for sure I did see her.
You also might get a glimpse of her in the window of Edmund's old house, if you dare to take a look.
Cornelia's death remains a mystery. Only Edmund might know what really happened, but that's one secret he took to his grave.
If you ever find yourself walking through the Appalachian Mountains, keep your eyes open and ears tuned for the Lady in White.
Wow, how about that? Now that is how an urban legend gets started. So anyway, I have never in my life heard of that. And the house that they show in that video, seems like I've driven past it before. It's all dilapidated and falling down. So I don't know many. I don't know of anyone that has heard of this until that video came out, and apparently it's been seen about 17,000 times, which is about 3 times the size of my town. So I don't know if everyone in town has seen this. However, you know, it's out there. So yeah, I find urban legends fascinating. How little things get started, how a small tale or a small lie can turn into a big truth that's unverified. Crazy how that works out. But I've been reading some about urban legends, and I came across a couple of things I thought was really fascinating. I've been reading in this book about the music industry, and this book wasn't about urban legends. It was just about some of the nefarious things that happened in that industry. But I did come across something really interesting that was an urban legend. The band Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page, probably one of the best guitarists ever. I didn't know this, but Jimmy Page had a real fascination with Aleister Crowley. And if you don't know who Aleister Crowley is, go look him up. He kind of described himself as the evilest man alive. And he called himself the Beast, like the Mark of the Beast from Revelation. This guy was revered in political circles and cultural circles like Hollywood and you know, the music industry and you know the elites in Britain and throughout Europe. So you know it's fascinating how this guy kind of latched onto a guy who's a kind of like a Satanist, but he had a fascination with him. Now that being beside the point, when Aleister Crowley he had died I think back in the 40s. Jimmy Page actually bought Aleister Crowley's old house. He insisted upon it because where all these rituals and rites were held and these lavish, weird, diabolical parties that were just full of nothing but like orgies and drugs and sodomy, just any kind of, you know, just throw all of this, you know, anything that you could call a sin into one place. Aleister Crowley tried to cram it all into his house. So Jimmy Page, being fascinated by Crowley and being kind of a disciple, a self-appointed disciple, bought the house. But that was, you know, kind of creepy. But the reason I bring Aleister Crowley up with Jimmy Page is because there was another band in Britain that was like an up-and-coming band that they thought were going to be able to really be like a huge rival, take sales, whatever. And this band was called Eddie and the Hot Rods. Well, Eddie and the Hot Rods, on one of their album cover, I think it was their initial album cover, had a depiction of Crowley on it that Jimmy Page, was completely upset by. I thought it was incredibly disrespectful to the Great Beast, as he called him. And he used his witchcraft and cast spells against that band, and that band eventually broke up, and they had so many things go wrong, they ended up losing their contract, and anyway, Eddie and the Hot Rods, that was supposed to be the next big thing, became absolutely nothing, and urban legend is because Jimmy Page used witchcraft, you know, claiming he's a witch, and cast spells to destroy that band, and I thought that's kind of freaking weird, you know? There's all kinds of stories out there about Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, but I'll not get into those on this episode, maybe on a future one that we talk about. However, there is another, one of my favorite urban legends is about a school bus. Now, this initially, supposedly, I heard happened in right outside of San Antonio, Texas. And I'm going to read some of this here, too. This is me actually reading, not like ad-libbing. This is from a book. And I'll give out the name of it. So this is really good. So if you want to buy this book, it's really interesting. But this comes to show you how one legend that's here can be something different somewhere else. So here in America, the legend was one thing. Over in Britain, it was another. So several decades ago, an odd story appeared in a local newspaper in a rural region of Wales. This is the one that happened in Britain. On the last day of term, a school bus taking children home was making its usual crossing over a railway line that ran up a mountain. The driver never liked taking the children over the crossing, but he had done it hundreds of times without incident. However, this time something went wrong, and the bus stopped right in the middle of the tracks. As the driver frantically tried to restart the engine, his worst nightmare began to come true. He heard a train sound its horn in the distance. Within seconds, a heavy goods vehicle was looming large in the window. His first instinct was to save the children, so he leapt from the bus, smashed open the emergency exit. The last thing he heard was a terrible noise as a locomotive's brakes screeched in vain, and the children screamed as they jumped off the bus. The last thing he saw was the train driver above him, shielding his eyes as he awaited the inevitable. The train obliterated the bus. By some miracle, only the bus driver lost his life. Over time, the small mining community slowly forgot about the accident until a recent story appeared in the same paper. It reported that an elderly man, a retired teacher, was driving over the same railway crossing when his car stalled on the tracks. The alarm began to sound, and his panic grew as he fumbled with his seatbelt. Just as he opened the door, the guardrails lowered behind him. He felt the car shift as though it was being lifted up from underneath, and the next thing he knew, the train was thundering past him, so close that it rocked the car. He was so shaken that he had to get out of his vehicle and call his wife to drive him home, which is when he checked the back of his car for damage. The train had missed it by a foot. It was also at that moment that he noticed the marks on the boot of his car. They were bloody handprints. The man looked around him in panic, but there was no one else in sight. Now that's really kind of creepy, right? That the driver of the bus survived, and apparently the driver, with bloody handprints on the back of his car, pushed him across the tracks. In the American version, it was the exact opposite. The bus had hit. The children were killed. And that to this day, if you stop before you get to the tracks and put baby powder all over the back of your bumper and trunk, and then you drive up to the tracks, put your car in neutral and sit there. And then you'll feel, after a couple of minutes, you'll feel your car being pushed. And when you get out of your car and you look, you'll see in the powder the handprints of children pushing your car off the tracks. So that was supposedly happened in one place in Texas. And then I read another article where somebody else claimed it happened in another area here in the country. So it's amazing how, like, from the time it went from America to Britain or Britain to America, I don't know which way it traveled, but it completely flipped. You know, you got the exact opposite. The bus driver was the one dead in one version. All the children were the ones dead pushing in the other version. But still, nonetheless, kind of creepy, kind of cool. I'll give you one more on this book, and then I'll give you the title, and then you can, then we'll just kind of close it down here for the day, and we'll do another one of these soon. Red Paper is the title of this section. Japanese children scare each other by repeating the tale of what happened to two schoolboys many years ago. One day, one of the boys went to the bathroom, only to find that there was no toilet paper in the stall. As he cursed himself, he heard a voice asking him whether he wanted red or blue paper. He answered red, and all the blood seeped out of his body so that he died in minutes. The story spread around the school. Some months later, the boy's friend found himself in the same toilet stall. And again, there was no paper. He heard the same voice ask him what paper he would like. Now, knowing and remembering the story of what happened to his friend, he chose blue. Gradually, his throat began to tighten, and soon he was struggling to breathe. Classmates found him dead, blue in the face from suffocation. Yeah, moral of the story, stay out of public toilets, people. Come on, those things are gross. How many times do I have to tell you? That book is called Urban Legends. Actually, let me click here on my Kindle and go back. I just bought this a couple, 3 weeks ago. The other book where I read the Jimmy Page was a book called Musical Truth by Mark Devlin. He's also of Britain. And this particular book is called by James Proud, Urban Legends, Myths and Mysteries and Bizarre Tales of UFOs, Monsters, and Stranger Things You Won't Believe. Excellent book, though. Good reading. Both of those books are actually really, really good. So if you get a chance, pick them up on your Kindle. I just got a new Paperwhite, so I'm proud of this damn thing. I've been reading it for about 3 weeks, and I've still got 39% battery left. which means I should probably go ahead and charge it up. It's taking one of these to bed with a Paperwhite. It has a screen lit so you can read, for those of you book nerds out there like me. It doesn't hurt as bad when you're falling asleep and you drop it on your face as it does holding a book above your head with a lamp on and dropping it on your face. That hurts. So, anyway, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. Like I said before, this better be your favorite show, or I might have to hate you. I won't, but I should. I probably should. So, if you're listening to me on iTunes, go down there and click subscribe. We're also on Spotify and on Podbean.com. So make sure you give us a like, give us a ranking. I'd certainly appreciate the hell out of that. And I don't do anything like Patreon where I give anything extra to whoever subscribes. If you want to do me a solid and try to help me keep the lights on, go to Amazon.com and do a search for Cyrus Alderwood. And I've got, 10, 11 books out, something like that. It's getting close to Halloween. I'll give you a suggestion if you want to go. I would love to sell more of Dark Places. It's a collection of short stories, and also probably some of the most creative short stories in the horror genre I've written, and actually kind of borderline urban legend stuff in there too, is called Bedtime Stories for the Terminally Afraid. Yeah, I did that cover myself. It kind of sucks, but some of the other covers were done by some really good people. Gary Kwapis, who's been on the show before, used to be with Marvel Comics. I'll give that guy a shout out. So thanks again for doing those book covers for me, buddy. And I'll be back with another one really, really soon. Have a great weekend, or week. Hell, it's Monday. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for stopping by and tuning in today. Close this son of a bitch out with some more blues hammer from Norfolk and Virginia Beach. I should have talked about some urban legends about your mom while I was at it.